Exciting new research from Curtin University is uncovering the mystery of space rocks. We've known that carbon-rich asteroids are abundant in space. However, they make up less than 5% of meteorites found on Earth, which has always been a bit puzzling to researchers. Thanks to a team of scientists from Curtin University School of Earth and Planetary Sciences, the International Centre for Radio Astronomy and others, it's been found that the carbon material doesn't survive atmospheric entry. To tell us more about the study and the findings, we're joined by PhD student Sophie Deem from Curtin University. Thank you so much for joining me on The Record today, Sophie.
Good morning. Oh, my pleasure.
So tell us about the study. How did it all come about?
Yeah, so Australia has a really good history with fireball networks. These are cameras that are out in the desert, in areas with we've got beautiful clear skies here, of course, and they look up at nighttime and they can see every little meteor and fireball as it enters the atmosphere and creates a nice streak across the sky. So because we've been observing the skies for over a decade now, we can get all this data about what the types of rocks are that are entering our atmosphere and hitting the Earth. And it's through this data set and data sets of networks from around the world that have brought together enough information to us to sort of start to see trends and start to figure out what is happening out there in the solar system.
Yeah, so the team researched and analysed close to 8,500 meteoroids and meteorite impacts. How was that research conducted? What were you looking for within that data?
Yeah, so these fireball cameras, they look up at the sky and they take either images or photos. And so it just is it's the night sky, so it's like a black image and it'll have stars on it, and then it'll have a big streak or a big bright flare, and that'll be a fireball. When you have multiple cameras, you can triangulate where the fireball came from and you can figure out what its orbit was around the sun before it impacted the Earth. So the data reduction and processing of these images is what these fireball networks are sort of built and made to do. And then what we have at the end is a beautiful, sweet data set of these thousands of orbits, which are a string of six different numbers, really. And these numbers can tell us what type of orbit the object was on before it impacted the Earth. And these are the sort of trends that we're, and numbers that we're looking at on a day-to-day to get this study done.
I can imagine there was so much data to try and sift through. How long did it all take?
So the lead researcher on this, Dr. Patrick Schober, he is in fact a ex-PhD student from Curtin University. He had been working between data sets for some time now over a few different postdocs to bring together data sets captured by different people and different cameras. So you can imagine there's different nuances as to what different people's data mean. So he's definitely put in a lot of work to bring it all together. I couldn't tell you exactly how long he's been working on it for, but now that he's done the collection of data, it's just a prime time to look into it and see what it all tells us.
And the biggest finding was discovering why carbon-rich asteroids are abundant in space, yet make up less than 5% of meteorites found on Earth. Can you tell us more about that finding?
Yeah, so there are lots of different asteroid types. You said carbonaceous, that's a type of asteroid that is very carbon-rich. That's opposed to one that is less carbon-rich and would have lots of silicate materials, or which would remind you of clay, or metals that would remind you of iron. So these carbon-rich asteroids are, what we're finding is that they are, we don't have as many of them on the ground as what we do in space. So we can look into space, we can see the different types of asteroids. On the ground, we have meteorites, which are rocks that have fallen all the way through our atmosphere and landed on the ground. And then when we look at the meteorites, we find that we've got less of these carbonaceous things. So when these are carbonaceous, they are carbon-rich, and they are often weaker. So the material that holds it together is not as strong. And until now, planetary scientists, our main reasoning for why we don't have as many of these on the ground is they don't survive atmospheric entry. Can you imagine a rocket launching or a rocket re-entering through the atmosphere, and you can imagine all the fire coming up past the windows of the space shuttle or whatever? That's what a rock has to endure to come and reach the ground as a meteorite. So until now, we've really just assumed the carbonaceous stuff is weaker. It can't survive that re-entry. that is why we don't have as much of it in our collections of meteorites. However, we're finding there's another thing that happens before these meteoroids enter the atmosphere, and that is this solar filter, the filtering by the sun, which is what this research has really found. So the filtering by the sun, if I can continue on, is the fact that when objects are in space, they are heated by the sun. So just the way that the Earth is heated by the sun. And the closer you get to the sun, the more heat you receive. However, heat can do lots of things to these rocks. It can crack them, it can process them, it can create stresses, and all of these things can weaken the rocks. So what we found is because of this thermal processing of the rocks near the Earth, only the strongest ones are actually remaining to then enter the atmosphere. So not only is it difficult to get through the atmosphere, you have to be really strong to even survive orbiting the sun near the Earth as close as it is to the sun. And that is also influencing why we have more of the stronger material and less of this weaker carbonaceous material in our meteorite collection.
It's always exciting to hear about the things our researchers can discover and learn about something that we've had for ages. Like, we've had dozens and hundreds of meteorites land on Earth for many, many years. But it's always interesting to hear that more research and more of the steps before they get to us have been revealed. How was it for you and the team to be part of this discovery?
I find it most exciting from the perspective of we're contributing another piece of the puzzle to planetary science, where the really big questions are wanting to be answered, like how are planets actually form? How did life get to Earth or form on Earth? And knowing what material was where and like how it's being influenced in the solar system over the millions of years that it's been around, trying to bring together all that information to solve those big questions is like the most exciting part. And so the finding out about how influential this sun thermaling, sun altering process is sort of like another piece to the puzzle that we can contribute. And that's what I find the most exciting.
You're listening to On the Record. We're joined by Curtin University's Sophie Deem, and we're chatting about new research on asteroids and meteorites. So how does this reshape how we interpret meteorites that we've already collected?
Yeah, so there's another perspective of what we have on Earth is predominantly the strongest material that's in our solar system. So now we have to really think about, well, what is in our solar system and what types of rocks were out there when the Earth was forming before life started. And so it kind of is just another piece to consider and to understand when you're trying to, I don't know, play back and think about the other like biological consequences.
And you mentioned before about these carbon-rich meteorites are important because of, well, trying to figure out, help us figure out our place within the universe and how it all started. And I read that they contain water and organic molecules. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, for sure. So when the solar system formed, there's a lot of gas and all of dust and all of different materials all in like a massive disk. And what happened is that then formed into planetesimals and into rocks and into bodies. And because so much time has passed since then, different types of materials are in different places in the solar system. So when you're close to the sun, you would have lost a lot of your water just because of the heating from the sun. And it's different to if you're way out in the solar system, like near the gas giants, you've got a lot more of what we might call like primitive materials. You've been less processed. Meteorites that we have less of in our collection are carbonaceous chondrites, and they are hydrated. They have a lot of that water-rich material in them, and then we all know that water is one of the key ingredients for life, and the types of organic compounds that life needs to thrive and to start are in these carbonaceous chondrites, as opposed to some of the other types of meteorites which don't have these compounds. So you're sort of starting to see like, oh, well, we've got lots of this material, but that doesn't have the same ingredients as this material.
This morning we've been talking all about some really exciting research from Curtin University looking into asteroids and meteorites. Before I let you go today, what's next for this topic of study or for yourself in this area?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I think after, like, this has come to light, there'll be a lot more connections between this and as we have more ongoing sample return missions. So we recently had NASA's OSIRIS-REx mission that brought back some samples. And so we can do the comparisons of, like, the meteorites we have on the ground, what we're bringing back from space. And now that we know what sort of happens in space to these materials, and it can help them just sort of infer all of this information. But as we're collecting more and more fireable orbits, and the technology to do so is getting a lot better as well. So more space missions and then better tech for making these cameras that look up and collect the information about the fireballs, it always just looks like there's going to be more and more cool stuff coming out of this field in general.
Sophie, it's been a pleasure having you on the show this morning and having a chat about your research that you've been involved with. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. That was Curtin University PhD student and co-author of the paper, Sophie Deem, joining us to discuss the exciting discovery around asteroids and meteorites.